It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
And when government gets bigger, the individual gets smaller.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
For thee, but not for me. And I agree that we got to change that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
If, in fact, you are working for the man, it's a new form of slavery.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. And the National Shooting Sports Foundation represents the nation's manufacturers, retailers, and distributors of firearms, optics, ammunition, and other related sporting goods and media. And this week, we're doing something very special for Independence Day week and pre-recording these shows with very special guests. And very pleased to have on the line with me my friend Scott Powell. His great book, Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. Scott Powell, welcome to the show, and I'm holding my copy in my hand right now.
Well, thank you, Kim. You're very good to remind the listeners of this great book, because it's a timeless book. Even though it's been out 2 years, it is timeless, and it's really written for busy people who don't normally read books. And each chapter is a standalone story of maybe 12, 15 pages at the most, Each story comes alive and hooks you into reading the next chapter, even if that isn't, you know, even if you don't get to it for another week. So it's a book that's really designed for busy people to really give them hope and confidence that, you know, that God's hand is behind America. God's hand remains in America, especially with we're in a major battle now. But there's certainly a very large remnant in America, and I think that God's hand will be on us as we go through these great difficulties.
I think so as well. And I feel Colorado is at the tip of the spear on so many things that are going on. And somebody said, how so? And I said, well, we were one of the first states to have mail-out ballots. And I think that has opened up the possibility of legalized election manipulation.
Oh, absolutely.
And so Colorado's at the tip of the spear, but I feel that something really monumental and good is going to happen here.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
So with that, this book is so important, but you've recently written a piece, Rediscovering the Meaning and Authority of July 4. And a lot has happened since the book was published in America. So where should we start, Scott Powell?
Well, I'd remind the listeners that, you know, despite being shaken to our foundation, which is really what has happened, our country has been challenged on every level, culturally, legally, politically, economically, in a way that we've never seen before. But we remain a very blessed nation. And we have these holidays like Independence Day, you know, and we call it 4th of July, that have earth-shaking significance, and that's what I want to talk about. And if Americans only understood that they are both the true heirs and the protectors of the birth of freedom in the world, I think that July 4th celebrations might well take on an incredibly new dimension, you know, potentially igniting Americans from all walks of life to sacrifice more time and resources and join the ranks of the growing patriot movement dedicated to saving America's freedom at this critical time. Everyone can see now that freedom is in the crosshairs of destruction by what we'll just call a anti-freedom, autocratic, and some people would even say a demonic left that wants to totally transform our country and the world. America is, you know, is really different than any other nation in history. You know, when you think about the formation of other countries, it was always really a process of the evolution of tribes and clans, royalty and blood lineage, inevitabilities of language, culture, tradition, geography, and oftentimes from the results of war, where the victors carve up the vanquished. And our country, America, is the only nation in human history that was completely born of noble and deeply spiritual principles, that all men are created equal, that they have been given God-given rights that can't be taken away by any man or earthly authority, and that those unalienable rights combine to create and protect a thing that we call freedom in our lives. And that has meant that Americans have been free to pursue happiness, free to worship God, free to speak publicly of their views, and of course, free to choose their leaders. And of course, and many of these things are under assault now, but we're going to prevail. Truth is going to prevail.
So, Scott, question. Because we say that we, in the vision of this declaration, that we have these rights given by God, because we're all created equal, of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. But people will say, well, you could be wrongfully imprisoned, or we see our liberties being infringed upon, but yet we say that these cannot be taken away by man, but yet it seems like they try to. So how do you address that?
They are trying to. Absolutely. I made that very clear, that we are under assault. But when we understand the history of the country, it gives us a perspective about how we can, how God's hand is behind us, and how insurmountable odds can be overcome. So let's talk a little bit about that. We can talk about some other things too, but no matter the odds against freedom today, I think we can take heart and resolve from our history. You know, in the first few years of the War of Independence, George Washington's undertrained, under-equipped, and underfunded Continental Army, which was only half the size of the highly trained professional British Army and their allied German Hessian mercenary troops, that was what we faced. It was impossible odds. And then when you add to it the naval situation, because wars involve armies and navies, the naval mismatch was even greater. The Continental Navy had only about 25 converted merchant ships, while the British naval power had more than 270 dedicated warships that had crossed the Atlantic and were concentrated around East Coast colonial ports. So things looked grim for the American cause. I mean, the odds were insurmountable, really, because the British were known. They had the greatest military in the world. Their troops, their military was highly trained, and our numbers were much fewer, and we were undertrained, underfunded, underequipped. So how are we going to prevail? Well, the courage, determination, and godly faith of the founders made the difference. You know, we can read in the last sentence of the Declaration of Independence, before the space that's allotted for the signatures, it reads, quote, "For the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the providence of divine providence, the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor." This was the attitude that our founders had. And that 4th of July, it's an interesting story about all this, because we know that the 4th of July was the date that the Declaration of Independence was signed and released, but it involved a lot of signatories, because when we look at copies of the Declaration, we see a whole raft of signatures. There was actually 56 signatures on there, but what happened in the very beginning was that there were only two signatures on the Declaration of Independence when it was released. And so when General George Washington, who was now in New York preparing for its defense, on July, a few days after July 4th, July 6th, a courier came from Philadelphia to deliver a copy of the Declaration of Independence that, you know, that had been agreed upon by the delegates of the Continental Congress just 2 days before. However, there were just two signatures on that document: John Hancock, the president of the Continental Congress, and Secretary Charles Thompson. Because the odds of prevailing against the British were so low and the penalty for treason was death, it had been decided by the Continental Congress not to reveal the identities of the other 54 who had voted for the declaration. So that's a little side story that a lot of people, you know, probably never heard. It's part of what's in Rediscovering America. And the reality is that in the summer and fall of 1776, Washington would encounter defeat and retreat after losing all three major battle campaigns in New York at the cost of about 4,100 men killed or taken prisoner. And, you know, the Patriot cause could hardly afford to lose 4,000 men. That was like a quarter, almost a quarter or a fifth of the total people in the Continental Army. However, as you know, as God would have it, less than 2 months later, you know, Washington had two victorious successive surprise attacks, defeating a Hessian garrison in Trenton, New Jersey, the day after Christmas, 1776. And we've all seen the pictures of crossing the Delaware. That crossing of the Delaware was that time of going to battle against the German Hessians, which were in Trenton at that time. And that was an incredibly successful surprise attack. The Americans lost no soldiers, except there were several that died of freezing on the way.
Can you imagine?
It was so cold. But when they actually engaged, they had no casualties. They killed many, but they took the rest prisoners. And then you'd think, well, we've got a victory, you know, let's rest a little bit. But Washington, who had great intelligence, learned that that not too far away in Princeton, New Jersey, there was a British contingency. I don't know how large it was, but it was significant. And he said, "Well, we're gonna go to Princeton. We're gonna give them a surprise attack." And so he actually used decoys, you know, creating fires in Trenton, where they were camped out, to give the image that they were staying in Trenton, when in fact they were on their way to Princeton. And so when they engaged the British in Princeton, it was an incredible scene. You know, George Washington always led from the front on his horse, and he was a master horseman. And he, you know, bullets are whizzing by, and you know, it's an intense, the intensity of war and the courage that Washington and his troops showed inspired the locals so much in Princeton. These are the locals. Many of these people, you know, may have marginally supported the Patriot cause, but in any case, they were so impressed that they went home, they got their guns, and they got up and they joined with the Continental forces, and they swiftly defeated the British.
Keep that as a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I'm talking with Scott Powell. We're talking about America's independence. He is the author of this great book, Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. I'd highly recommend that everyone have a hard copy of this in their Freedom Library at home. So, so important. And we have all these great discussions because of our sponsors. And one of those is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Roger knows that life can be challenging, and that's why they're there to help. So give them a call at 303-795-8855 to set up an appointment to go over your insurance coverage. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And I'd recommend that you go over to the USMC Memorial Foundation website. That is usmcmemorialfoundation.org, and they are planning a great event, which will be in, I think it's August 23rd, the 47th anniversary of the Marine Memorial, and it will be a special performance by Dave Bray, and you can contribute to get your tickets there. I think it's going to sell out. It's a limited number of people, so I'd highly recommend that you get that done, and it's a great thing to do this week, Independence Day week, I'm now calling it. I'm making it a week, Scott Powell. Scott Powell's on the line with me.
It's such a profound holiday that it really requires a week of preparation, of really reflecting deeply about what it means, you know, how America was the birth of freedom in the world. You know, let me share a little bit about that. You know, we've taken our freedom and rights for granted for hundreds of years in the United States, but most people don't realize that in the most populated part of the world, that is Asia, prior to World War II and the entire history before that, as far as I know, Asian states and societies were all autocratic, with people at the top having the power and the privileges, and the people at the bottom having neither rights nor much in the way of freedom. But it was after the Allied powers, led by the United States, got victory in World War II, democratic self-government was granted in 1947 to India, and of course the Brits granted that. They were our number one ally in World War II, and the United States took a role in the reconstruction of Japan, which actually brought democratic institutions into Japan for the first time. And from there, from those two nations, you know, freedom spread from there, however imperfectly. And let's reflect on what happened in China. You know, freedom could have potentially extended to mainland China if the U.S. was not weary of war, which is true. You know, the war was over in 45, and the civil war in China was still raging between Chiang Kai-shek and Mao Zedong's forces. But if the United States and its military leadership in China had been committed to supporting Chiang Kai-shek's forces and had not been compromised by various people in the diplomatic corps who were both sympathetic to the CCP and also Mao Zedong, they were certainly naive about him. And that failure, the failure to continue to support Chiang Kai-shek, it really ultimately led to the communist takeover of the most populated country in the world. And what do we face now? The freedom of Taiwan, is at risk, the Philippines, South Korea, Japan, and even our homeland is now threatened. So we can't redo history, but it's a reminder that we have to fight for freedom, and if we don't, our country, could lose its freedom, and that's very hard for people to grasp. But we can actually see the beginnings of it everywhere. Freedom of speech has been curtailed. Our elections have been challenged by fraudulent practices. Our media and universities are propagators of falsehood more than they are the truth. And we can just go down the list of how our freedoms have really been eroded. But I think God has allowed this to happen because America is, a system of the people, by the people, and for the people. The people rule in America, and so American people have largely, I won't say become detached, but, American people are, they work hard, they've got their families, they get their jobs, they've got things going on, and so they don't always stay engaged in the public square as much as they should. But we're still a nation of the people. And so I think God's allowed this chaos to come to America, challenging our everything about what we know to be American values, in order that the people might really wake up. And I think it's really happened that more Americans are awake now than ever. You know, you can't believe what they tell us in the polls. The polls that are declared are all fake, just like the media. The real polls by people that do this research, like Martin Armstrong and various others, the approval ratings for Joe Biden are now between 6% and 7% of the population in America. Wow. 6% or 7%. That is the lowest approval rating for any president in the history of the country. So there isn't really a prayer for Biden and probably his replacement if they decide to do a switcheroo, simply because people have woken up that it's not just Biden. It's really these elitists, these global elitists that want to grind America down, cause its economy to fail, engage us in unnecessary wars to weaken us, demoralize us in every possible way. But people have survived this, and they're waking up. And so the approval ratings for the current ruling powers is, as I just said, 6%, 7%. There's no way. And, Trump's out there saying, let's make this election too big to rig, right? Isn't that great? And it's really true. I think it can be too big to rig.
I hope that's the case. But this is so essential, Scott Powell, for us to be a nation of governing ourselves.
Absolutely.
And we have to be engaged, and we have to understand what's going on. I agree with you. I think people are waking up. They're not becoming woke. I think that they're waking up to what woke is.
Yes.
And it's encouraging. I am concerned that those that have been on this agenda to take down America and freedom and the American idea and the middle class and all those things, I'm concerned that they're going to really ramp things up here over the next few months between now and election time. But the positive thing is the more they do, the more people wake up.
That's right. And never forget that as the evil ones ramp it up, God's hand of protection can come in. We've seen that in our history. I'll share a little bit more about how in fact the patriot cause prevailed against all odds. But when we we know from Scripture, I mean, Matthew 24 reminds us that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Peter, the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Isaiah reminds us that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. The word of God is that truth will triumph over falsehood, that good will triumph over evil. America was founded as a beacon. It was like a Christian plant in a world, that the whole American system, while it's not a theocratic state, all the values that went into the shaping of our Constitution were rooted in Christianity. And so God, who planted this seed, and America is unique in history also because of its rapid rise. And just in less than 200 years, we went from a poor country to the number one economy in the world. And do you know, when people talk about American exceptionalism, let me give you a picture of what American exceptionalism really is. America has only, our population in terms of the world is about 5% of the population of the world is America. We have 35, 40 million people, and there are about 8.5 billion. So you can do the math. I might be a little bit off on that, but let's just use the percentage of around 5%. America has 5%. But do you know that America has generated 94% of the creativity that now exists and has been spread throughout the world? Wow. All this technology and creativity, this has come from America. And, you know, and it's also reflected in wealth. We have 25% of the world's wealth, and we have only 5% of the population.
So, Scott, on that, let's address that, because there are those on the left that say that disparity is because America has taken from everyone else. What would you say to that?
Oh, this is absolute nonsense. Our system is based on freedom, on a free market system. A free market system is based on producing goods and services that help people, for which there's a demand. You can't just sell junk. You got to sell things that people want. And our system, the freedom that we have, has led to creativity in all sectors of the economy, and this has driven our economy. We are an engine of productivity, producing things that people have wanted from the very beginning. And you can't, you don't have a successful business unless you are serving the people. I mean, we know that one of the Christian ideas is that we are, that we should have a servant heart, that God would have us wanting, to live by the golden rule, treat other people as you would want to be treated yourself, that you need to serve other people as you want to be served. Well, this is what our free market system does. Now, it's been corrupted like everything else. But the notion that capitalism is a system of greed, that we deprive resources from other people, there's always imperfection. There's no getting around that. People are flawed. They are sinners. There are people that exploit other people that may have their roots in America and went overseas to exploit. But we, by and large, America has always been a leading country for doing things. We don't exploit. We pay a fair price for resources that we would bring, that we would develop. And, many of these resources around the world, and particularly in Africa, they would never be developed if it were not for the West, and particularly the United States. And now China is very big in developing resources. And, of course, the Chinese philosophy is not a Christian one. They are the exploiters. They are the ones that want to enslave people and take advantage of them. You know, they control 75% of the cobalt production in the world. The Chinese do, 75% of it. is controlled by the Chinese. And it all comes out of Africa. And it comes out of slave labor in Africa.
And that
slave labor of children.
Absolutely. That is so important for people to understand. And thank you for addressing that, Scott Powell. I think it's so important that we do that. This is such an important discussion that we're having regarding America and our founding and these foundational principles. We get to have this because of our sponsors, and one of those is Karen Levine.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has nearly 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine works to protect your property rights at the local, county, state, and national level. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Working with Realtor Karen Levine helps you navigate through the process of buying or selling your home. Call Karen Levine to help you buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning Realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And be sure and check out the website for the Center for American Values. The center is located in Pueblo on the beautiful Riverwalk, and they're doing all kinds of great things. Honoring our Medal of Honor recipients and keeping that spirit alive in each and every one of us, and educational programs, and then their On Value series as well, which I have the great honor to MC many of them. And you can find those at their website. That is AmericanValueCenter.org. I'm talking with Scott Powell. He is the author of a very important book, Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. And in the last segment, we talked a bit about what happens with America. And you said that we have 5% of the world population, but yet 94% of the creativity.
That's right.
And 5% of the world population, but about 24% of the world's wealth. And this is because of that, what we just talked about, creativity.
And it's only a free society that really stimulates to its fullness the creative side of human nature. And this is given by God. God created us to be free and creative. And when we, you know, when that's allowed to go forth, look what happened. I mean, in less than 200 years, America becomes the most prosperous country in the world. We have all this creativity and all, creation of wealth. And all of it, of course, people can be critical of certain aspects, because we always have to remember that man is flawed. So there are always bad actors. There are bad actors in government. There are bad actors in the private sector. But by and large, and I would remind everybody that a free society that is competitive weeds out the bad actors better than any other system. That's true in politics. It's true in the private sector. If you're a corrupt businessman, how long do you think you're going to survive before people find out that you're exploiting people, or that you're a crook? You'll be found out, because the competitive system works in such a way as to uncover and show where there are bad actors. And it's true for our governmental system. Unfortunately, you know, the American people are really somewhat at fault for being asleep at the switch and not really paying attention to what their elected officials are doing, how they're voting. They've tended to, you know, vote by habit, the incumbents always have a big advantage over the newcomers, because they can buy votes. They have the sort of the system of, what do they call it, where, I mean, they can they can send out their promotional stuff on the, you know, free of charge because the government pays for it. Meanwhile, the new person, the new entry, you know, has to raise all the money to break into the system, and it's very hard to do that. But it still is a system that does work if the people are paying attention and they get involved. And getting involved means voting. And when this, you know, the founders, I remind everybody of this simple truth. The founders had no illusion that the people would be following the nuances of foreign policy and the economy, all the complexities of that go on in a country. But they had faith that the people would be able to vote on a simple thing, and that simple thing is what Ronald Reagan articulated. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Now, in the case of congressional people, you know, it's a two-year period. The checks and balances built into our system are really quite extraordinary. It's not just the three branches of government. It's not just that states are competing against the federal government. That's called the federalist system, where the power is divided between the states and the federal government. But the biggest check is the vote that comes up frequently.
Right.
Most countries don't have votes on their legislature every 2 years, but we do. So we can turn over Congress, you know, if we have a corrupt Congress, if we're really doing what we should do, it'll only last 2 years because they'll be voted out of office. We're just going to vote out the corrupt class and vote in the alternative, the new. And it may be that some of the new don't turn out well. But if we do this regularly every 2 years, it's a cleansing of our system. And we end up with a self-correcting system.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be like. And
supposed
that's,
to be, yes.
Yeah, and that's why this whole term limit thing, I am not a term limits girl, because I feel that the real term limits is supposed to happen at the voting box. And I'm concerned that if we had term limits on electeds, that would only empower the administrative state even more. And so we need an engaged citizenry that knows what's going on so that we can impose those term limits via the ballot box.
Yes, I agree. I have very mixed feelings about term limits. The only reason I might consider it is because we've certainly come to realize that the fallen nature of man is such that we end up with a corrupt government that doesn't get, you know, where the system is not working correctly. But I tend to lean on the side of relying on the people. But and that's why your work is so important, Kim, because you're constantly waking people up to, you know, all the things that are going on, not only in your state of Colorado, which is a frontline state in many ways, but also, you know, what's going on in the world. And, I can't support you enough. And all you listeners, you know, talk to your friends. Make sure they're also listeners of KLZ, the Kim Munson Show, because Kim needs a growing listenership to expand her work, because it's advertiser based. So as the listenership grows, advertising rates are increased, and Kim can do her work in a growing and more impactful way. So
be sure to
tell your friends.
Thank you. Yes, and support all of our sponsors as well.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
But let's get back to how America won against all the odds.
Well, before we do that, and maybe that's where you're headed, but during the break, you mentioned the story about George Washington.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
Because, it looked very grim for the Patriot cause. Even though they had two good victories in Trenton and Princeton, that was only the beginning of the second year of the so-called Revolutionary War, War of Independence, and the Continental Army would go on to lose more battles than they won. But the key element in the end that I think caused also the British to sort of cave in was this amazing quality about the American people, led by George Washington, that would not give up, that showed an amazing level of courage. And so where did this come from? Well, I'll tell you the short story of what happened in George Washington's life when he was 22 years old. You know, he had a military calling. He was just, God called him to be in the military. And so he was serving at the, you know, he was serving under the British army, because in those days, when he was 22, that would have been about 1755, I think. The colonies, they may have been starting to chafe under the control of the British, but by and large, there was good relations between the British presence in America and the colonists. And the colonists were relatively free to do what they wanted to do. And so George Washington was serving under British command, under General Braddock. And this is when the French and Indian War was going on, and the British wanted to expand their control in the colonies, and so they made it an objective to reclaim Fort Duquesne, which is now Pittsburgh, to bring it back under British control. And so they sent a garrison, or a battalion, I think is more like it. Yeah, definitely a battalion. 1,400 people were sent to take back Fort Duquesne. And George Washington was among that 1,400, and he was actually the senior-most American officer. But he was just a colonel, so he was way down in the ranks compared to the British. But he was 22 years old, and he was serving. And this battalion was ambushed in a place that where they didn't have a prayer of really survival, almost. It was an open area surrounded by trees, and of course the Indians were the biggest component of that battle. It was the Monongahela Valley, so it was the Battle of Monongahela, and the Indian sharpshooters proceeded to take down all the soldiers in this open field, and they were told, well, you want to take down the officers first because they're the ones on horseback, and if you can take down all those on horseback, the rest will fall very easily. And so one by one the officers were taken down until all of them were taken down except one man, and that was George Washington. Now he's the junior most officer. Washington had two horses shot out from under him, so he was on his third horse when he said, well, we're defeated, we need to retreat. So he organized the retreat. The junior most officer now, the American George Washington, age 22, is organizing the retreat. It was they were able to save about half of their 1,400, and that evening George Washington took off his coat, and he had four bullet holes through his uniform. In other words, the Indians were good shots, but there wasn't a scratch on his body. And George Washington, he realized that he had God's protection. And we know this is a true story because he wrote to his brother. George had a very close relationship with his brother, and so he immediately wrote a letter wherein he told his brother what happened and that it could only have been God's protection that enabled him to survive. And this became part of who George Washington was. He knew he lived with God's protection. So when he led the troops throughout the six-year Revolutionary War, typically Washington was always leading from the front, right in the front, on his horse, which made him a sitting target. And he was a big man. He was 6'2" to 6'3". I mean, he was a big guy. But he led his battles that way, and he was protected throughout the Revolutionary War. And he was such an inspiration to his, you know, to his soldiers that they fought harder. And as I explained in the Battle of Princeton, the townspeople came out and got their guns and joined in to help defeat the British. So this is who George Washington was, and it's a reminder that courage is contagious, it is powerful, and it makes all the difference. So we have to be more courageous than we have been to get involved and to push back against these evil forces with confidence that God is on our side.
I totally agree. I totally agree on all counts on that, Scott Powell. And we're going to go to break. The show goes way too fast when you're on because there's so much great information, but it comes to you because of our sponsors, and one of those is Lauren Levy.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms has a wide selection of firearms along with fully stocked ammunition and accessories ready for you. Franktown prides themselves on being a family-friendly indoor gun range and shop, always striving to make their customers comfortable. Franktown will work with you and meet you where your experience level is. Their staff and instructors will help you find what you need and develop your skills to a whole new level. Have some fun practicing on the range any day, or come in for tactical fun night or ladies' night. For a limited time, they'll let KLZ listeners rent a firearm for free when you rent a lane, Class 3 guns not included. And when you sign up for membership, they'll give you your first month free, just for being a KLZ listener. So come find out why everyone loves Franktown Firearms today. Learn more about this one-of-a-kind gun shop and range at klzradio.com/Franktown. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. On the line with me is Scott Powell. We are pre-recording the shows this week with very special guests, and always love having Scott Powell on the show. He's the author of Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. We're talking about the Declaration of Independence, Independence Day, July 4th. We've got this last segment. Where should we start with this last segment,
Scott Powell? Well, I think we could start where we left off, and that was we're now in the second year of the Revolutionary War. Washington had two victories back-to-back, and this prompted the Continental Congress to release the full 56-signature Declaration of Independence to all the colonies. And this, you know, this also, fostered more courage in the colonies. But nonetheless, as it turned out, Washington would lose more battles than he won in the next 5 years. But he persisted with unwavering faith in God and the cause of freedom. And it's really incredible how how we finally got victory, because the odds were so against us. We lost more battles than we won, but there were certain developments that only Providence could have arranged that made Washington's 1781 victory at Yorktown possible, and that brought a final and total surrender by Great Britain. Basically, the British were worn down. You know, the Patriots never gave up. Washington was always in the front, you know, the courage of these patriots led by Washington. They knew that they're not giving up. So when they lost the Battle of Yorktown, which was, it's a great story in and of itself. So we don't have time for it. The British finally said, you know, we're done. It's 6 years of battling here, and these people, you know, they've defeated us. It's time to go home. So they surrendered, and that was how we won our independence. But you know, even more remarkable than the reversal of odds resulting in that military victory in Yorktown, I think, was the spiritual power of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution that followed. And that Constitution established that the rights of the people came from God and not the state, and that the sovereign powers of the state would be shaped and limited by the people. This was the first country in the human history that accomplished this. Now, what we see today, you know, we have secular forces that have been at work, and we could probably trace it back at least 60-plus years when God was really driven out of America's culture in a very significant way. You know, prayer was taken out of school in 1962, and then you had this, you know, the sexual revolution in the late 60s and 70s, Roe v. Wade in early 70s, and it's been a progressive decline in the moral values in our culture, compared to our first 200-plus years. You know, we're a very different country. And it's little wonder, really, that average Americans today feel demoralized and confused about the self-destructive direction that our country's going in. You know, a corrupt ruling elite in America seems to have neither respect for people's welfare and rights, nor for the Constitution that served previous generations of America so well. But America, everything can change. I would give your audience hope and remind them that everything can change if Americans realign their interests with God, who assures that in time, truth will triumph over lies and good will triumph over evil. And just as success followed the resolve expressed on July 4th, 1776, we too can tap into the same unstoppable spiritual authority that enabled the founders to overcome impossible odds. And if we come full circle from the opening observation in our interview, Kim, that many have an insufficient appreciation for the meaning behind holidays, I would remind everybody that the term holiday has its origin being synonymous with holy day. It's a holy day. It's a God day. And July 4th is truly the American holy day for the reasons described. And, you know, I would cite a few of our early people and a late president. Thomas Jefferson, who championed freedom in the writing of the Declaration of Independence, called America the world's best hope. Abraham Lincoln, whose cause became expanded freedom by abolishing slavery, called America the last best hope of the earth. President Reagan declared, quote, "If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth." So I want to take you to another dimension, and that is something that we've all thought about in our lives. What if our house caught on fire, you know, and our family was inside? What would we do? Well, the nightmare of one's house burning prompts immediate response. We drop everything to save loved ones. Well, I would remind all your listeners, and all your listeners need to talk to their friends, that America has been set on fire to destroy our freedom. And it is time that everyone gets involved to save our home and our freedom. Our country is on fire, and we need to rush in and save our country. So, you know, let's make this July 4th, a day of celebration of our founding ideals, but also a time of renewed commitment to engage and wake up everyone we know that it's time to resist the creeping tyranny and political corruption and reclaim the sovereignty over the precious possessions of our freedoms and rights. And just as Washington succeeded against impossible odds by persistence, courage, and the truth, we too will prevail. I'm not going to say can prevail. I am going to align my views with what God has told us. And that when we align ourselves with his values, with truth courage, the future, we can reclaim our country. I have no doubt about it. So, like Washington persisted, he had courage, and he was very, very faithful man. We too will prevail. So, I really want to share that message of hope for people. But it does require that we do. That this is emergency time. The American house is on fire, and we need to rescue it.
Well, we definitely do. And at the beginning of the show, I normally say that we were made for this moment in history. I've added in history. I used to say we are made for this moment, but we are made for this moment in history. It's an exciting time.
It is.
And it's so important to engage. I also, in many of the speeches that I give, I think we are in the third founding of our country, and it is certainly very exciting. So, Scott Powell, I so appreciate all that you do, and this is such a great book, Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. I wish you and yours a very blessed Independence Day.
Thank you, Kim, and same to you and all your audience.
And again, Scott Powell's book is Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. I would highly recommend that you have this in your Freedom Library and give it to your other family members as well. It is so important that you have this so that you can sit down with children and grandchildren on each of the holidays and go through it and explain what the basis is. And it gives us a great understanding of our country. And as many of you know, with America's Veteran Stories, I went to Normandy in 2016 with a group of D-Day veterans, and these kids in France know their history, and so we need to make sure that we know our history as well. Our quote for the end of the show, I went to John Hancock as he was signing the Declaration of Independence in 1776. He said, "There, His Majesty can now read my name without glasses, and he can double the reward on my head." What amazing men. So my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, if honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
And when government gets bigger, the individual gets smaller.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
For thee, but not for me. And I agree that we got to change that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
If, in fact, you are working for the man, it's a new form of slavery.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
And welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you. I get to work with an amazing team, producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. if something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And wanted to acknowledge two great sponsors of the show. That's the Harris family, and I appreciate their goal sponsorship of the show, and then the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their goal sponsorship of the show as well. And they are doing such great work regarding trying to protect our Second Amendment, our rights to keep and bear firearms to protect ourselves against the bad guys and or girls. And, oh, I probably can't say that. I'll have to ask Trent Luce about that. He's on the line. We're pre-recording for this week. Can I say bad guys or bad girls, Trent Luce?
I think you already did, Kim.
Okay.
So the answer would be yes, you can.
Okay.
Now, you will also have to deal with the repercussions if there are any. But see, there's nothing I say that I'm not willing to deal with.
Well, me either. So I try.
There you go. So then you can say it.
Okay, then I'm going to say it. But welcome. We are pre-recording for Independence Day week, and we had a new country when we signed the Declaration of Independence. We declared our independence. But when we were doing the pre-call, you said that there are others that might be, in a way, declaring their independence. So tell me about that.
Well, I am just in the process of leaving the state of Illinois, or should I say New Illinois, because there's a couple of ironic things about this whole situation, Kim, and it just could not be more perfectly timed with Independence Day and coming into the celebration of what our founding fathers did in 1775 and beyond. I was in Hancock County, Illinois. What are the odds that I would have been in Hancock County, Illinois, knowing that John Hancock was the first one to sign the Declaration of Independence? But in Hancock County, Illinois, there's a group of individuals working with other individuals of Illinois to create a new state. And I did not go read it because I've been busy, but Article 4, Section 3 clearly devises a path for people to do this if they're not happy with their representation, a lack of representation, and overtaxation. In fact, they told me, they being Tony Kaler and Larry Mulch, that this is how the state of West Virginia was actually formed. That people said, we're not happy with what's taking place. We're going to create a new state. And so there is a new Illinois that's in the mix. There are 102 counties in the state of Illinois, and there are 44 that have currently adopted not only a resolution, but begun the process of putting in place a new state constitution, and it's 100% about taking the power back to the people.
Wow. And is it because those in Chicago have really been controlling everything for the whole state?
You nailed it. 100%. It's because of the corruption coming out of Cook County and the lack of leadership in the state capital in Springfield to actually hold Governor Pritzker and the entire crew at bay. Just to give you one example of how corrupt this guy is, back during and I knew this happened during the COVID era, he mandated that there was a statewide testing of employees. If you're a business and you're going to remain open, you've got to test your employees. You send your blood into this lab. And guess who owned the lab where the blood was sent in for analysis?
Pritzker?
Pritzker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's there's a couple of ways to earn money. One is to bring value that people want to trade their hard-earned dollars for, and they make a choice on that. That's called capitalism. Or there is the other way, where you use government to force people to buy your product, and that is not the way it's supposed to be. But that a lot of that happens these days. Trent Luce.
Well. This is a sad joke, but in Illinois, the joke is that the governors of Illinois are so committed to helping the citizens that most of them go to prison to make license plates after they get out of office as governor.
Funny and not funny, huh?
Well, and five of the last eight, well, check that. Trump pardoned Blagojevich. So four of the last eight are still in prison.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, it's a serious problem.
Oh, my gosh, it is a serious problem. So, New Illinois, This is pretty amazing. I've heard stories about some of the Colorado counties wanting to, I guess, not create a new state, but to become part of Wyoming. We've heard about people in eastern Oregon wanting to join Idaho because we've moved away from representative government, and we've moved into where PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties collude together to push their own agenda instead of representing the people.
100%. And you were alluding to Oregon and parts of California wanting to create the state of Jefferson. And that's a completely different beast than what we're talking about here today, because they're talking about maintaining the state of Illinois but creating a new state. And they're going to exclude Cook County unless Cook County wants to come along. But in fact, in my conversation with these guys, I use Colorado as a perfect example, because I think that you are doing a phenomenal job in Denver. People think that Jefferson County is just 100% liberals, and all they care about is a fast track to socialism. You know that's not true, because the discussions that you and I have continue to bring out people in Jefferson County and throughout all of metropolitan Denver that don't agree with the things that are taking place. And I shared with them that same exact premise is going to follow true with it when you start talking about Cook County and Chicago. There's plenty of people that want to maintain the representative republic that our founding fathers had a vision for. It's just they don't feel like they have a place to be heard and have their voice echo and get outside of their house. And so what is happening in this new Illinois state initiative, and you can keep track of everything they're doing, by the way, at newillinoisstate.org, they are giving people a voice to be heard. And that, at the end of the day, isn't that what we're all trying to accomplish, Kim?
It really is. And I've been down to the state house here in Colorado, and it's not representative government. And many times these elected representatives, they act like they think they will never lose another election. And that's why these elections are so, so important. And I'm working on a little project. I'll just keep that as a cliffhanger out there, because we must be assured that we have clean, fair, honest, and transparent elections. I'm talking with Trent Luce. You know him. He's a sixth-generation farmer and rancher. We are pre-recording all these shows for Independence Day week, and we get to have all these discussions because of our amazing sponsors. One of those is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, and Roger's been in business for 47 years, serving his customers, providing for his family, and giving back to the communities, and he can help you anywhere you live in Colorado, also in Arizona. So give him a call at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has nearly 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine works to protect your property rights at the local, county, state, and national level. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Working with Realtor Karen Levine helps you navigate through the process of buying or selling your home. Call Karen Levine to help you buy or sell your home, because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning Realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And I wanted to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation. I will be out at their 47th anniversary on August 24th at the memorial. And there's going to be a great concert by Dave Bray USA and also Al Jennings and Jim Blaine, both World War II Iwo Jima veterans will be there, as well as Drew Dix will be coming up from the Center for American Values in Pueblo, and he is a Medal of Honor recipient. You can get your tickets by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. That's usmcmemorialfoundation.org. We're pre-recording these shows for the 4th of July week or Independence Day week, and on the line with me is Trent Luce, sixth-generation farmer and rancher. And Trent Luce, you're talking about New Illinois, and I'm not sure I quite understand. They're not breaking away from Illinois. They're trying to create a new state. Explain that to me.
Well, they basically want a representation from every county, 101. There's 102 counties in Illinois, to create the new Illinois and basically ignore old Illinois. It's that simple.
Okay.
And there was a, well, before we continue, I have to clarify something. I'm on Highway 36 now coming across Missouri. Do you have $250 you can allocate to me if I need it?
Sure. Are you speeding?
Okay. No, I'm not. But there's an orange sign I just passed that said no phone, construction zone, $250 fine. So if I just want to know if you're going to pay that fine if I get it.
Well, I assume you're on hands-free driving, and that would be the correct answer, that you are on hands-free.
Did you not have the same mother I had and have walked through the definition of assuming?
Yeah, I did have the same. Yeah. I did. Actually, it was my grandmother, but on that one. Okay, so.
Yeah, in simplicity's sake, you're just simply going to ignore old Illinois, create a whole new constitution, have representation in every county, and literally throw away the old government. And what the wake-up call was, by the way, this initiative started in 2016, so it's not a new thing. It's coming almost on 10 years now. But what really broke the camel's back and is when it got aggressive, and when 44 counties said, we're going to do something, is that Illinois passed a law that went into effect September 1 of last year. And that law is a direct violation of the Second Amendment. And it was so egregious that 92 county sheriffs actually publicly stated that if this was when it was still a proposed bill, if the governor signs this law, we will not enforce it in our county. Because the governors, or the county sheriff said, we will not support something that is not constitutional.
Good for them.
This is a direct violation. So when 92 counties out of 102 in the state of Illinois have their county sheriff that publicly states something at this level, it gets people's attention. And it really has. And it doesn't matter where I travel. I tell people that I grew up in Illinois, and the first question, oh, Chicago? No, not even close to Chicago. 350 miles from Chicago. There's people that live 500 miles away from Chicago and still in the state of Illinois. And yet that little mecca of not a lot of people, just a few people, have had control over the entire state, and they are now completely bankrupt. And they're at the point where what they're really waiting for the creme de la creme of kicking this off is when the employees of the state cannot get a paycheck because there's no money available. And when does that happen? When all of the Inflation Reduction Act and all of the taxpayer funding that's coming from the federal government runs out, this new Illinois will be ready to roll.
Fascinating. And so 92 county sheriffs, there's 10 that did not say. Or, okay. And I imagine those 10 were probably in the Chicago metro area.
You know, the interesting, I don't know exactly where those 10 are, but I was just in Kane County, Illinois, which is right outside of Chicago. And it is one of the most conservative places. In fact, DeKalb County, Kane County, those counties that are right on the periphery of Chicago, they are absolutely as conservative as any county downstate because they've seen the repercussions of what's happening in Cook County. but I'm going to make the assessment that a lot of them were also around Springfield, the state capital, like Sangamon County. Now, there's another component to this, and I don't want to draw this story out too long, but I was in Illinois because my nephew was part of a Team Purebred Junior Swine Association, and he's been on the junior board for the last 2 years. And so this is where people from all over the country come to this event. There were people there from Colorado, California, Maryland. So the entire nation comes, and kids participate in showing and exhibiting pigs. And my nephew Grayson Tedrow just finished his second year on the board, and they had a retiring ceremony. And this is an event that we used to attend all the time, and our kids showed in it every year. This year, and it was really led by a family from Maryland who I had the opportunity to see, the Tamworths. The Tamworths just were non-existent when I was a kid. It's a breed of pigs that was originated from Britain. And a former prime minister actually developed this line of pigs. And his name was Sir Robert Peel. And he took Irish grazing hogs and made what they call a Tamworth. And he did that in Tamworth, England, which led to the Tamworth breed. They came to the United States in the late 1800s. And they've just kind of been non-existent. Now, today, there's more around. Now, the interesting part of this is that as the prime minister of Britain, Robert Peel ended the corn laws. And the corn laws is what created the starvation of Ireland and what we call the potato blight. Because we know that there was a potato problem, but potatoes did not cause the famine. It was the British crown that continued to sell food instead of feeding its own people. And they had in place what they called the corn laws, which were laws to protect the citizens of the, or the farmers of the country, and did not allow any food to come into the country. So Robert Peel puts in place, or breaks down, or repeals, pun intended, repeals the corn laws, which allowed for food to come in to feed the people. They ran him out. They ran him out like nothing flat, and then he came back. He was prime minister again. He continued to do things that were for the people, but he took over and leading the first known conservative party of Britain. And guess which political party fell to crumbles as a result of this conservative party taking over?
The Democrat Party?
That's a really good guess, but the answer is the Whigs.
Oh.
Now, I was in the land of Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican president, first Republican elected official anywhere in the United States. And what party collapsed because they had become too much for the aristocrats instead of the everyday working people?
It was the Whigs.
It was the Whigs. And so here I am in the county of Hancock County, named after John Hancock, who took on the crown of Britain, in the state where Abraham Lincoln made famous, and he took over for the Whigs at a time, and I run into all these Tamworth hogs that Robert Peel was a part of making. Isn't it funny how God works if you're paying attention?
It is funny how God works, and I've got another one for you. We're going to go to break. I'm talking with Trent Luce. We get to have these discussions because of our sponsors, such as Lavaca Meat Company.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lorne understands that each financial transaction is personal. if you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You shouldn't have to force people to do it. And I want to say thank you to Janssen Photography for their great sponsorship of the show. Janssen Photography is located in Lakewood on an old farmstead. So you don't have to go meet a photographer at the park. Everything is right there. If you're going to do a family portrait, all the kids can be there. It really, I think, takes the edge off. But then, of course, Glenn Janssen does a beautiful job with lighting and understanding that. And then Mary does those touch-ups to get something that is really memorable. So for a portrait of the family or the children, your senior student, check out JanssenPhotography.com. That's JanssenPhotography.com. I'm talking with Trent Luce. We are pre-recording this show for Independence Day week. And you know him. He's a sixth-generation farmer and rancher who has, for over 20 years, has been bringing forth these issues of the people that feed and fuel us. Because when there are attacks upon our farmers and ranchers and our oil and gas and coal producers, it's really an attack upon us. And they're doubling down, it seems like, right now from a legislative standpoint, initiatives, rules, regulations. And so that's why the work that you're doing, Trent Luce, is so, so important.
That's not a Lone Ranger thing. The work that we are doing.
That's true. This is true. So, okay, first thing, when we went to break, you mentioned this whole God thing, you know, Land of Lincoln. Let's see, Sir Robert Peel and repealing the corn laws. And then you mentioned that you were in Hancock County and John Hancock signed the Declaration of Independence. Well, I've pre-recorded the show for the first hour and was trying to figure out what quote I would use. And I happened to choose a quote by John Hancock. So I think that's another God thing. What do you think?
Okay. I think that's absolutely spot on. You did say corn laws, not coin laws, right?
I tried to say corn laws.
Okay. Okay. I thought you were sounding corny.
Da-da-da. Okay. The potato famine, you said that the potato famine was, that it was associated or somewhat with the corn laws. So explain that. And this was the potato famine in Ireland many years ago.
1850s. Okay. 1847, I think. So I, like everybody else in the United States, was taught in school that there was a blight on the potatoes in Ireland. A million people died of famine, and a million people left Ireland. So when I went to Dublin, Ireland in 2012, I learned that there was a blight on the potatoes, that there was a million people who died of famine, there was a million people who left Ireland. But the death and the famine was not caused by the blight on the potatoes. It was caused by the fact that the Crown, who was still controlling what was happening in Ireland at the time, was actually making money from exporting food, not importing any food, and created a famine situation because the potatoes were not available. But the food that could have sustained these human beings was being sold because the Crown did not want to give up the revenue.
Gee, man.
And so the corn laws are what made that happen, because they had an impossible tariff on importing food into all of those British-controlled countries. And it was Robert Peel who repealed the corn law which allowed food to come into the what is now known as the United Kingdom plus Ireland to sustain life.
How could the people of the crown stand by while people were starving? I guess we're setting something up like that now, too. I guess it's a rhetorical question, yes?
I would assume that's a very rhetorical question, because I can ask myself, how could the people of 1942 Germany know that their neighbors were being tortured and killed in gas chambers and burned to death and stand by and do nothing? And post-COVID in the United States, I understand it all.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's why it's so important that we have these conversations, Trent Luce, is to bring truth and clarity to all of this, because we're at a really dangerous time. You and I talk about it all the time regarding this movement that is really an anti-human movement by the elites of the world right now. And I think that it's hard for people to realize that there are really such bad actors out there that would actually go to these lengths to hurt people. But we know that they are there. And of course, the other side of it is, though, is we cannot stand by and not say anything. We must take action to stop it.
Well, just bring it closer to home. You know, we preach all of the time about local food. And if you have local food, you could have prevented that situation in Ireland, even though it was the limitations on imports that created the famine. They had the food available, and they were still sending it out. It comes back to local control. Look at Jefferson County. We're talking about in the city limits of Denver eliminating a proposal to eliminate a food supply that would provide sustenance for people. And there's somebody who supported it, somebody signed a petition to say that's a good idea. You also include a ban on fur, a natural fiber that's renewable, that comes from a resource. We want to reintroduce wolves, we want to reintroduce wolverines into Colorado, but we don't want to utilize the resource that they possess to make it happen. So if you're going to reintroduce a wolf, then you ought to be able to wear a wolf coat down the streets of Denver. But if this particular ballot initiative passes, you can't do that.
So right.
It's hypocritical, and there are people that just stand back and say, oh, it's a bunch of wackos. No, it's not just a bunch of wackos. It's your complacency that allows these people to have that happen.
Well, and just clarify, that is that initiative that you're referring to is in the city and county of Denver. And I actually have a friend. I need to talk with him, because I just realized that initiative also was regarding furs. And he's because I was in the clothing business for many years, and he has a business right there in Denver. So I need to give him a call, because it's so wrong to put an initiative there which would take away other people's property rights. So we're referring to fur stores, obviously, but also Superior Farm, which is a lamb processing plant in the city and county of Denver. And so they're going to put it on the ballot this November to say, hey, can we close down this business? My friends, the reason we have to take a stand is, you may say, oh, I don't wear furs, oh, I don't eat lamb. But if they can do that to them, then your business might be the next one that they're going to have a ballot initiative to say, we need to get rid of that. And so that's why we must shed light on this and say no to this. So Trent Luce, we are recording this on Friday before Independence Day week, and it just came across my news feed early this morning, is that we've talked about Palaise Farm, that in fact,
yes,
it's been ruled that yes, the eminent domain can be used to take their land. And it just seems reminiscent now of what the British Crown did, is they are going to take land and would make the farm non-functional, and in doing so, eliminate this farm that's been in business since 1929, feeding people and, again, taking away a local food source. I don't know what to do about it, but I'm not going to give up on Palaise Farm yet, Trent Luce. But it seems reminiscent of the British Crown.
It's also tied to what we've been talking about in terms of John Hancock, our founding fathers, and the Constitution of the United States, including the Fifth Amendment, which says you cannot do that unless it's for a public use. And they conjured up a public use, which is not really a public use. It's private gain.
Exactly.
The other part of this, Kim, is that we often talk about reading, writing, and arithmetic and how our school system is just so flawed. Every bit of this that we've discussed, you can find a commonality in history. And these people who are tyrannical and they want to control lives of other individuals, they're not creative. They never come up with anything new. All they do is take old stuff and regurgitate it, whether it's the British Crown in 1847 or it's Catherine the Great in the Russia in the 1880s or it's Stalin in 1920 and the Bolsheviks. Nothing is new. They just recreate all of this stuff, hide history so that people don't see where they're headed.
Well, and that's why history is so important to understand it and to start to recognize the parallels. And you had mentioned COVID, and that is almost like a bad dream that we went through all that. But I remember, Trent, that when all this was coming down the pike, in my gut, I felt like something is not right here. The way that they were taking power, I remember calling one of the county commissioners and just pleading with him not to shut the county down. And they weren't as bad as others, but it doesn't matter. You shouldn't shut it down whatsoever. But I remember then you had to have a piece of paper that said that you were essential so you could be driving around. And I remember driving to the station during the early days of COVID and having my piece of paper thinking this is so wrong. And then seeing on those signs above the those propaganda signs is what they are on the highway now. It said, stay home, save a life. And I could just feel that there was something so wrong about all of that, Trent Luce.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And yet we had overwhelming number of people that went along with it and would come after you and attack you if they thought you were somehow violating that stay home, protect a life thing.
I know. And the implication, though, with that message was, is if you didn't stay home, that you wanted to kill somebody.
Quite possibly you were leaving home so you didn't kill somebody.
Yeah. True. Yeah, it was such a difficult time. But these to your point that there's nothing new, and that is we've always seen the traveling, hey, show your papers, please. We never have had to do that in America. And so to your point, there's nothing new, and there was nothing new on the whole COVID thing, but it was all of this tyranny on steroids.
I know where we're at on time, but I was actually very concerned. China was trying to put a clamp on Christianity and the teachings in the church. And they're saying that if you are going to go online and if you're going to have a church, you need to do it online so we can monitor what's being said. And people are throwing a fit saying, no, we don't want the Chinese government to monitor what we're saying in church. And you think about what happened to church during COVID in the United States. We voluntarily started going online so that everybody could monitor what we're saying in church.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm talking with Trent Luce just regarding all these ideas. I never quite know where our conversation is going to go, which makes it super interesting. I guess that's kind of how it is all the time on the show. But I did want to mention the Center for American Values located in Pueblo, Colorado. I've gotten to know everyone down there. The co-founders are Drew Dix, who is a Medal of Honor recipient, and Brad Padula, who is an Emmy Award-winning documentary maker. And what they're doing down there, not only honoring our Medal of Honor recipients, but also putting together educational programs for our kids is just so important. So be sure and check out their website. That is AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. And we get to have all these conversations because of our sponsors like John Boson with Boson Law.
Boson Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work,
Don't go it alone and uninformed. Boston Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
Franktown Firearms has a wide selection of firearms along with fully stocked ammunition and accessories ready for you. Franktown prides themselves on being a family-friendly indoor gun range and shop, always striving to make their customers comfortable. Franktown will work with you and meet you where your experience level is. Their staff and instructors will help you find what you need and develop your skills to a whole new level. Have some fun practicing on the range any day or come in for tactical fun night or ladies' night. For a limited time, they'll let KLZ listeners rent a firearm for free when you rent a lane, Class 3 guns not included. And when you sign up for membership, they'll give you your first month free, just for being a KLZ listener. So come find out why everyone loves Franktown Firearms today. Learn more about this one-of-a-kind gun shop and range at klzradio.com/Franktown. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And on the line with me is Trent Luce. You know him. He's a sixth-generation farmer and rancher who has been shedding light on the issues of the people that feed and fuel us, what they're facing, because we really like our food, we really like our energy, and he's been doing that for a long time. So Trent Luce, you said that something just, when we were in between break here, you said something just happened. What just happened?
Well, you know, in the last break, I'm all into one-upmanship, because in the last, coming out of the last break, you had to tell me how you had this divine intervention with John Hancock. So now I'm going to one-up you.
Okay.
And this is the last segment, so you're going to have to work at being one-upping me before we're done.
Okay.
I had just said that we were talking about zooming in Jesus and making all of our church discussions available online so that they could be monitored by everybody. I finished that, and you started the little close, which was very appropriate. And I was passing a semi-truck on Highway 36 headed west. I looked over, and just out of the blue, which is very rare, on the side of the truck at the door, the guy had Matthew 6:33.
Wow. And what is Matthew 6:33?
Well, I'm not going to pretend that I memorize Bible verses, but I can, despite women thinking guys can't multitask, I can look up a Bible verse while I drive and do radio. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well.
Wow. Wow. I think there's another one.
Pass that guy anywhere, you know, but I passed him at that moment.
It's a God nudge, that is for sure. There's the other, the truth shall set you free, and that's why it's so important, the light and truth that we try to shed on all of these issues, because there are those that just want to keep people super confused and make everything so complex. And so that is why it's so important that we search for truth and clarity as we look at all of these issues. Trent Luce, a little bit more about the declaration, since this is going to broadcast the day before the July 4th, our Independence Day. It's rather remarkable, these men, that they, at the very end of the declaration, they said this, which I find so amazing, and it says, and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. It just takes your breath away when you really think about it, because as they were signing this, they could hear the British cannons just down the river.
And you might add that they actually did all lose their fortunes. they literally pretty much all died destitute, broke, or dead, or were killed.
Oh, I guess they were dead when they were, when they died.
But, I mean, some of them were brought to death. Others went broke. I mean, it was, if you follow the life of those who signed that Declaration of Independence post-signing, it was a sacrifice. And that gets left out of the equation as well.
And the reason, at least I think the overarching reason is because they realize that there's something bigger than just ourselves. And to come up with this idea of the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal with these rights from our Creator of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and willing to put their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor on the line, it is remarkable. But we can ask no less of ourselves in 2024 America, because there are those from the Revolutionary War all the way through our wars and conflicts that have put it all on the line for liberty, which is the responsible exercise of freedom. And now we are asked at this point, we're engaging in this big battle of ideas, just like they were. And we do a disservice to all those before us if we don't do the hard work to understand what's going on and engage in this battle of ideas. And you do that on a regular basis, Trent Luce.
So it was very timely for me to go to this event. We can close by talking about the same thing we talked about when we started. I went to Springfield, Illinois. There's roughly 1,000 kids from, I would guess, 40 states present, exhibiting pigs. And it has nothing to do with the pigs. But I was looking around at all of these kids with great big smiles on their faces and happy to win, learning how to lose, doing all of these other things. And it really hit me hard, Kim. This is why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We do it because it's not, has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with this daughter that's riding with me in the pickup, and the two that I have at home, and the 1,000 kids that are there that are oblivious to what's actually going on in the world. But we have an obligation to create and ensure that they have the same opportunity at a life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness that we've had.
You're absolutely right. And sometimes, and it's amazing all that you do, the driving that you do, but, and sometimes when I'm whining to myself about getting up early or whatever it is, I think about all those before us. I think about those guys on D-Day going onto those beaches and putting their lives on the line for other people's liberty. And we are called in 2024 America to make sure that we do everything to pass it on. And you've just really nailed it. And we have that responsibility. And I know that you take it really seriously, and I do too.
I cannot minimize anybody who's been a part of the military or first responders that make life better. But let's not go with something that's, it seems to be at that level of a sacrifice, which it is. But what about just your family that came west at a time when there was no electricity? There was no outhouse even, let alone an outhouse. And what your grandmother endured and how many times you've shared that story. And what life was like for the pioneers who said, we're going to turn this great American desert into a resource-producing nation. And that required a sacrifice that today we can't even imagine. So it goes beyond just the whole military aspect.
Yeah.
We owe it to those that said, we're going to find and make a better way. And now we become fat and happy and sassy and don't know what a sacrifice truly is.
Well, and yes, so my grandmother grew up in a two-room sod house, which was, I jokingly say, which was the original sustainable house, the original green house, if you will. And there was even a story that my cousins told me that, you know, bugs and snakes would fall from the ceiling because it was a sod house.
Every day.
A snake fell into the little crib or wherever the baby was sleeping. And apparently my great-grandmother just was very matter-of-fact, just got rid of it. And we take so much for granted because of this great American idea. And I come from people that believed in working hard to make sure that they passed on something good and better to the next generation. And I've got a quick little story. John Eastman, who was Trump's attorney, I had interviewed him many years ago when I was on city council because I had called him, I guess, regarding the general welfare and what that meant exactly. I'd heard him on one of the national talk shows. And the general welfare in the Constitution doesn't mean that we're giving welfare to people. It means that there are things that should be for everyone. So, for example, I think he referenced that a president vetoed money for a road in the Cumberland Gap because that was for a region, not general welfare, but did approve money for lighthouses up and down the Eastern Seaboard because that was for the general welfare. But I saw him recently and at an event, and he and his wife came over, and I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well, we were interviewed by a paper in California, and they wanted to ask us how depressed I was because of all that's going on." And he said, "Well, I'm not depressed at all." And they said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, the founders, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor." And I guess he didn't say that to the reporter, but he said it to me. He said, "I'm not depressed. We're in this. This is our time." But he said, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, and I can do no less. And I'm paraphrasing. But I thought that was pretty powerful, Trent Luce.
I absolutely love that, and it's what I try to live by every day, because people always think that they're having a bad day and they don't know what a bad day truly is.
Well, yeah, and to that point, a Medal of Honor recipients down at the Center for American Values, many times they say they don't talk about the day that they received the medal or the actions they took where they received the medal, because they received the medal because of something that happened on one of the toughest, worst days of their lives. And I thought that was very telling. So, Trent Luce, we've got a minute left. How would you like to button up this show for Declaration or Independence Day week?
Well, unfortunately, we have a lot of people that, particularly in an election year, that want to talk about whether it's a red state, a blue state, whatever the case may be. We could talk about the infinite wisdom of our founding fathers, but they created the symbol of the United States of America as the red, white, and the blue, illustrating to me that we must all come together on our differences, and the only way we stand united is if we throw those things away, not pay attention to people who want to create division, and remain united, because it is the United States of America.
Trent Luce, thank you so much. Very well said. And our quote for the end of the show is from John Hancock as he was signing the Declaration in 1776. And he, a very big signature, he said, "There, His Majesty can now read my name without glasses, and he can double the reward on my head." So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.